So, welcome, Nadia Oscar, to Gazagay Podcast. It's really an honor to have you in Gazagay Podcast. I'll introduce you now to the listeners of Gazagay Podcast, and I'll give you the chance to introduce yourself the way you like. Nadia
Appreciate
Oscar
that.
is
Thank
an
you.
American-born Palestinian from New Jersey. Currently is residing in Denver, Colorado, and is a registered yoga teacher. Nadia's passion in giving everyone choices and resources to meet their goals led her to pursue her master's in nonprofit management after receiving her bachelor's in international business. Her advocacy in human rights and feminism is what motivates her to protest and volunteer alongside her brothers and sisters in her spare time when she's not teaching the Yugis of Colorado.
I appreciate that. Well, I really do. Thanks so much for having me. I'm the honored one, definitely, for being here. Yeah,
No,
like you
no,
said,
I'm the honored homie.
I appreciate that, really. But yeah, like you said, I was raised in New Jersey, currently in Denver, but Palestinian at heart. You know, whenever someone asks me where I'm from, I say Palestinian because, and then they're like, well, were you born there? I'm like, no, but that's me. That's who I like. I can't say I'm an American, you know, like that hurts a little bit.
The roots,
But
I think.
yeah, like we were talking about earlier, like
So let
roots
us
are
tell
really
the word
important.
more about who you are and what you do.
So like you said, I teach yoga. Right now I'm teaching private classes. I teach Zoom classes. I teach at a gym. I'm not attached to a studio right now, but I'm here and there. My main focus is learning how to use yoga to help heal. And that's in so many different ways, whether it's PTSD or just like life trauma, just like things that we go through. And that comes from my own personal endeavors. And yeah, I till now I'm still trying to figure out my route through yoga and healing and how I can contribute more to the world and whatnot.
Nice. Can you remember your first yoga session? How did you make the decision to go? And why should somebody consider trying yoga at all?
So I went when I was 12 or 13 with my best friend, who is still my best friend till this day. And it was just a trial class that they had down the block from my house. So we figured, why not go try it out? And it was an experience. I know that first class that I took was something so different from anything I've ever done. Especially at the time, it was like early 2000s. So, you know, yoga wasn't too big yet. It was still like coming up. And yeah, it made me see things differently. It opened my eyes to some things, but I didn't get into it until I realized that it was a bigger tool than I thought. You know, like I dabbled until I was 18 years old. And then when I realized how valuable yoga could be, I got into it more. So that's what I would say is that everyone can take their own value out of it, and that comes differently from person to person. So, you know, for some people, yoga will help them physically, and that'll be the extent of it. Some of us need that letting go physically, but some of us need that letting go that's a little bit deeper, right? Like letting go of expectations or letting go of the past, things like that. So yeah, even like, you know, just space for yourself, space for self-reflection. I think that's probably a big thing too that I got out of it when I really started focusing on my yoga practice, the physical and the non-physical, was the fact that you have to face yourself. And that's why not a lot of people do, like, you know, a lot of people.
That's a deep question that you have to face yourself.
Definitely,
Wow.
definitely. And that's why it's kind of hard to stick to your practice at some points, because who wants to do that? Who wants to constantly be like, all right, maybe I should stop smoking as much, or maybe I should stop buying on credit as much, or maybe I should start talking to myself nicer. Like, you know, these are all things that obviously are that they serve us, but they're harder than what they sound, you know?
What were the answers to this?
The answers to
I mean, how yoga answered you, allowed you to face yourself,
So
for
for me,
example.
I realized I wasn't making the right decisions that served me. So I was on a path that probably could have gone a way that would have been worse than where I am right now. You know, like it could have gone very badly if I didn't check myself at a young age. And by check myself, I mean that self-reflection in yoga that I had to sit down and be like, okay, are these things that I'm doing affecting me? Am I the one, like, or is it affecting the people that I'm like, oh, I'm rebelling against these people? No, it's affecting me. It's at the end of the day, I'm the only person who, you know, receives the brunt of my actions. So, I realized that I wanted to make more decisions that served my higher purpose, my higher being, who I wanted to be, you know, nice. Because that's what it is. You face yourself and you figure out, like, is this the
person I want to be? If you can mention some examples.
Positive self-talk is one of them, definitely. You know, like, we're the only people where we talk to ourselves in our heads more than anyone else will ever talk to ourselves, right? So, like, you know, for me, I felt like I was making wrong decisions because I was always being hard on myself, always being negative with, you know, myself, about myself or whatnot. And like I said, yoga gives you that space to take a step back and be like, am I worthy? Like, am I, you know, this? Am I the things that I've convinced myself that I am my whole life? Or am I who I want to be? Am I whoever it is that I am? And, you know, a lot of these things I didn't come to by myself, obviously. Like, you know, it's not only self-reflection. It comes from also, like, having to put in some work and some time researching a lot of the yogic sutras or yogic readings, rather, I would say. I had some really great teachers, too, that I give so much credit to for helping me along these years, that for teaching me also so much that I know.
Nice. I would like to ask you what it gives you, like, what does yoga give you and what does it take from you?
So I think at different points in my life, it's given me different things and it's always what I need at the time.
Wow.
So, So, you know, at one point it was like it was my go-to. It was like my, whenever I wanted to like escape, that's kind of what I would do. So instead of, you know, like I said before, I was on a path that was kind of, you know, rocky. I drank a lot when I was younger. I smoked a lot. I got into trouble and I kind of replaced all of those things with yoga. I stopped going out as much. I stopped, you know, just the same patterns that I was doing. And I replaced it with going to a yoga class or just doing yoga at home. So I feel like it was my outlet. It was my safe space. Until now, it's still my safe space. Whenever I roll out my mat, I feel like at home. Now I feel like it's more of a, because I don't practice as much, I teach more than I practice nowadays. So I feel like it's more of an outlet for me to be a student teacher. So what I mean by that is, like, most yoga teachers, like, I only know this because I read it, like, you know, like, we're always students, no matter what. Like, even if you're a registered yoga teacher, every class is a learning experience for you to be a student to your students, like, you know. So I think that's what it gives me now, is the ability to keep learning and to keep keep my stuff fresh, hopefully.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Is there something that annoys you around the fact that yoga became so popular in the West?
You know, it obviously, just like any person from that comes from, you know, anywhere but America, I guess, right? Like, no one wants their stuff to be appropriated. And so I do know a lot of people that are Hindu believe that their religion was appropriated only because it's not like yoga is a religion, but it is a teaching in a religion. And it's a big part, it's a big aspect of Hinduism. And people who are Hindu, you know, they feel that they're not represented when speaking about yoga, because a lot of people, like, even like, I feel like it was, I can't tell you who it might've been, like Deepak Chopra or someone who was actually like well known. And he was like, yeah, it's one of the best, yoga is one of the best, like the most popular, you know, aspects of Buddhism. And like, you know, so now people think it's a Buddhist ideology when it isn't, you know. Again, it's something that can, it can just like start to fade out when you just put more and more westernization into the mix. I think it's a beautiful thing that it became so big, but I also believe that we owe it to the people, you know, the Hindus that came up with this beautiful art in like 1700 BC or something like that. It's our duty to honor them for what we have today, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be practicing. We wouldn't have, you know, these tools.
Nice. What is your favorite yoga style? And
so
how could someone find their preferred style?
That's a great question. So one thing I want to point out before I answer that is that yoga is for everyone. And that is the biggest thing, is that even though you've taken a class and you're like, oh, it's not for me, there are so many different kinds of yoga that it's like you can find it. Everyone can find one practice, and it doesn't always have to be physical. Like I said, there are eight limbs of yoga, so there are seven other things that make up what yoga is besides the physical practice. So my advice is for people to just try out different classes, try out different teachers. Online is definitely a great resource, you know, to YouTube a lot of different types of yoga.
And if they can reach out to you, like mention
me
your
as well.
Email.
Yes, please. Yes, I definitely will. So it's namastenadia7@gmail. My Instagram is namaste_nadia. My website's coming up, namastenadia.com. It's coming
great,
up very soon, I promise. My favorite yoga, so my teachers are very, very different women. They're very, they have very different, unique styles. So one of my teachers was a very strict vinyasa flow teacher. So that's one breath, one pose. You know, it was always like a hot class too. It was very meditation based. Like there were times, you know, one thing that she didn't like us to do were to like pull up our pants or like fix our clothes or whatever, because it would make you snap out of your meditation. She'd want you to just yoga through the whole way. Oh, like she would want you to just go through the whole way. Like no distractions, because that'll break the meditation. So no getting water, no blah, 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 like no wiping off with a towel, because you'll break your meditation. And I found that was very beneficial to the meditation aspect of my yoga practice. My other teacher, she was a little bit more free flow. So she liked hatha classes, but her specialty is high energy fusion yoga. So I kind of, and that's like again, high energy. So it's a little intense here and there. We practice and focus on inversions and stuff like that. So I took what I learned from both of them and I put it into my own style. Cause that was one of the things I learned teacher training, was that you can't be one teacher, or you can't be your favorite teacher. You can only be your own teacher. You can only put your own style on your stuff. So I took what they both taught me. And so I take it as a fusion, you know, it's like a vinyasa hatha fusion type of thing. You know, here and there I teach restorative classes as well. I love like handstands and headstands and form stands, and even just transitions that are fun, arm balances, stuff
yeah,
like that.
You're so professional.
Thanks.
You can easily do it.
You know, I've had so many years of practice, so it didn't come overnight. And most people will tell you, anyone who can do a handstand, anyone who could do a headstand or any crazy pose, they tell you that the benefit doesn't come from the pose. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter if you could do the pose. It comes from all the stuff that you learn along the way, whether
the
it's patience, whether it's strength. Yeah, exactly.
How important is flexibility for practicing yoga? You know, also I want to talk about that. Mental flexibility is fundamental, I would say.
Mental flexibility is, and physical flexibility.
As it comes to the physical flexibility.
They honestly go hand in hand. I'm not mm-hmm. going to lie. I believe they come hand in hand, because once you start to mentally be like, okay, I can do this. Like, this is fine. Like, because the mind has more, restricts ourselves more than the body does. So when you already convince yourself like, oh my God, I'm not flexible, I can't do this, it's like, that's it. You can't do it. You already convinced yourself you can't.
Yeah.
So like, once we start to be a little bit more mentally flexible, we get more physically flexible. But also just to point out, you don't have to be flexible to do yoga. You don't have to be physically stretchy to do yoga, because it's like saying you have to be strong to go to the gym. No, you gain that strength. You gain that flexibility, and it comes slow for some. It comes quick for others, but it comes, like, you know, practice. Eventually all is coming.